going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Okay. You know the Shadeer Sanders story is really hot when we talk about it leading up to the news with you, Dan, at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
And then during the 3 o'clock news, boss comes in here and wants to, talk for five minutes about why he dropped so far in the draft.
But anytime something like that on that stage happens that is unexpected.
Because everyone expected it to go a certain way.
Everyone expected it to go a certain way. We're all going, oh, and I can't believe, you know, in the last 10 years, how much more popular the draft has become to just your average fan. I remember we came in from being outside on Friday or Saturday, and I go, is the draft on? Turn on the draft. Now, why would you know me almost better than anybody, Scott?
Yes, I do.
In what world do the words, is the draft on? Let's watch the draft. When did this start? Like, where everyone has to be in on this thing. For me, honestly, it was when it came to Kansas City, and I saw it.
Well, over the past
it was bigger. It was big before that.
Money wise and bouncing around different cities and all that stuff. I'm just saying, for the lay fan, like, I'm a huge Chiefs fan, but otherwise, I knew Deion Sanders' son was a quarterback in Colorado, and that was about it.
And he was a good quarterback.
Like 76%
completion.
The next day, I woke up and I go, "Did someone take Sanders?
Okay, so
why do I care?
So drama."
Yes, that's exactly right, Dan. Yep. It became the drama of the draft. The draft has been big for a while. By the way, I did a deep dive on the NFL draft over the weekend, just during some downtime, sitting by the pool, listening to the ocean. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the first person ever taken in the NFL draft, I believe it was, Dan, will you look it up, please, if you would be so kind? It was 1937. This guy was a behemoth. He was a monster. And he played for the University of Chicago. He was the first person ever taken in the NFL draft, and he never played a down.
Jay Berwanger.
That's it.
Never played a down.
He was the first Heisman Trophy winner.
Hmm.
And he never played a down because he could make more money selling rubber tires.
And he was also the first ever winner of the Heisman Trophy.
I just said that.
Yeah.
He would make more money as a tire salesman.
That is correct.
Than playing football.
That is correct.
How times have changed.
He didn't even know that he had been drafted number one until 2 days after the draft. Because the draft was held in a cigar smoke-filled room in Philadelphia with about eight guys, because they only had like eight or nine teams, sitting around a table just doling out guys like they were nothing. I want whatever his name is, Berwanger or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Gerald Ford played against him one time. And Gerald Ford, to this day, or well, he died in 2002, yes. But to the day he died, Gerald Ford had a scar above his left eye delivered to him by one Berwanger.
Big old Berwanger.
But like so many things in the entertainment world, there's just more of it. And they saw an opportunity in the NFL to turn this into an event with lights and cameras and makeup
and stories,
showmanship.
Dan, if you go back and read like when it really started, and it's not that long ago, where cities are clamoring and people are taking off vacation to go, like I just didn't understand until I was right down front and asked to move back because I was in the wrong section. But for a while, we were right down front. Like Roger Goodell was 3 feet in front of me on that stage. I had no idea the insanity and the costumes and the people that fly in from
the production.
The production. Yeah. People that fly in from all over the country dressed in insane outfits to cheer for who they want for their team.
So when it was that the draft became huge is the day they moved it out of New York City.
And it started roving it around.
Moving it from city to city. For years, I mean, as long as I can remember, it was always held in New York City. And then one day, Roger Goodell, who you could poo-poo him all you want. He is a genius.
It's a businessman.
He is a genius, and he has taken the NFL and made it the most popular sport in, I don't want to say popular, the most lucrative sport in the world. Mm-hmm. Soccer is still more popular, but NFL football is still more lucrative.
It was 1980 when they first broadcast the NFL draft. And so
they didn't move until the 90s.
Was that 45 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Will you look up
the first year they moved it out of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was to Nashville.
Have they always had the camera right in the kid's face that's not getting chosen? I do still have an issue with that. Dan, what was the kid's name 2 or 3 years ago? Blonde kid, good looking kid. And they just kept showing him and he was physically there.
Will Levis.
Will Levis. Thank you.
Will.
Logan.
Yeah, ask the sports guy behind the board.
I remember
there.
Saying, like, why would you even invite him to be there if no one's going to pick him? And then we have to watch this poor kid and his family all night.
It was 2015. The NFL draft moved from New York City in 2015 after being held there for 50 years.
And where did they go in
Chicago?
Chicago. Okay.
So that's only a handful of years, you guys.
10 years ago.
Become this crazy thing.
So they were broadcasting. I mean, starting in 1980, they started broadcasting it. I guess somebody on ESPN will watch this. All right, let's do that. But then over time, just like so many things, everything just becomes more and
more. Of a production. Boss came in here and said this, Dan, and I believe this to be true after reading up on some of the things regarding the Sanders non-picking, was that the chatter about his pre-interview process was abysmal that in a couple of the interviews, so like anyone who's ever been in for a job interview, you know, you go in, you are being interviewed, you are being considered for a position.
This is a job interview.
Be humble. Do not go in. And one of the stories Alan just told was he had his earphones on,
playing, they were around his neck,
playing music around his neck. And blasted the music throughout the interview.
Back in the day, we used to call that too cool for school.
This is still a college kid, you know, probably interviewing with what? Executives in their 40s or 50s that have some life experience behind
them. Around the block.
And if you were a hiring manager and some 21-year-old came,
cocky,
came strolling in and didn't even bother to take their headphones off, I'm like, okay, that's a bad look.
Dress for the job you want.
Not the job you have.
You can wear the headphones later. Ask questions. Be engaged. Like all of those things. Maybe he did with some of the teams, but the rumor on the street is he was a horrible interview and the word was entitled.
But he got picked, right?
In the fifth round.
Okay.
Cost him tens of millions of dollars.
He wasn't Mr. Irrelevant, but he wasn't super relevant either.
Say that again?
He wasn't Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh, by the way, did you see the picture I put on Facebook?
No, who is it?
Okay, so hang on. Let me show you this.
Who?
When I was down in Mexico, this is how dramatic the Shador Sanders thing became. We would be down by the pool, and I had NFL.com on my internet, on my phone. But I always leave my phone up in the room. I don't want to be distracted. I'm there to look at the ocean, feel small, hang out with tea. But every once in a while, I would say, hey, I want to go to the room. I'm going to see where Shador Sanders got taken.
you were invested in this vacation.
I was. So let me show you. When they finished the draft, you know, on NFL.com, they would tell you, pick number 141 was Dana Wright from the University of Stanford. And she went to the Chicago Bears, and it would be a picture of you smiling and everything. They had that for every single player all the way through the draft, except.
Oh, no.
Tell me what you see here in this picture.
There's no photo?
For Mr. Irrelevant.
They don't even have a photo of him?
He's the only one.
Is this Kobe Minor?
Yes.
That makes me sad. They don't have graphics people that could have found a photo of that child.
It's not like he went to the University of West Central Northwest Illinois. He went to Memphis.
Maybe it just was buffering. It was stuck in buffering.
It was buffering, like his career. Buffering.
Look at that.
Bless his heart.
Mr. Irrelevant is so irrelevant, they couldn't even find his picture.
These are still children, you guys.
Number 257.
That is correct.
And may he go on to a nice career
lengthy.
In the job that he wants.
He went to the New England Patriots. Kobe Meyer, defensive back from Memphis with
you know
no
what?
Picture.
Scott, number 257 is still a part of the NFL. Number 258 is not.
There is no 258.
Whatever. If there was, he would still be a part of something that very few other people have been a part
well,
of. He's still in.
Mr. Irrelevant from, I believe, 3 years ago is still the starting quarterback in San Francisco by the name of Brock Purdy of Iowa State.
I think he is just going to do fine.
So I think he has done fine.
Bless his heart.
A lot of assumptions I go into the drafting of these football players, et cetera, and that's before.
How many analysts said Patrick Mahomes was a horrible pick for us? Do you remember how many analysts said, what are the Chiefs thinking?
Yeah, that's right.
Whoa.
What do I say about that?
Telephone number here is 913-586.
I should be an analyst.
You should.
Oh.
Actually, you should.
586-7798. Jay Binkley will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll dig a little bit deeper.
An expert.
Yeah, somebody who actually knows what they're talking about at 4 o'clock here on Dana and Parks.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sad news yesterday out of Kansas City. The woman accused of stabbing a Kansas City Fire Department paramedic who was trying to help her has been charged with murder. Shanetta Bazell, 38 years old of Kansas City, has been charged with murder in the first degree, armed criminal action. The Kansas City Police Department says just after 12:30 yesterday morning, emergency crews were called to the area of 152 Highway and North Oak with reports of a woman later identified as Bazell walking on the highway. Callers were concerned for her safety. Responding officers said they located Bazell and ultimately requested EMS for further treatment. She was to be transported to St. Luke's Hospital. However, around 1:25 in the morning,
with police following the ambulance,
she allegedly stabbed Kansas City Fire Department paramedic Graham Hoffman, age 29.
Court documents, Scott, say the police officers that were following the ambulance saw the driver run to the back and then witnessed a struggle between this woman and Hoffman. Records show that Hoffman shouted, "She has a knife," before collapsing with a stab wound to his chest. She then gets in the driver's seat and tries to commandeer the ambulance. Police go to wrestle her out as his partner is in the back trying to save his life. She bites an officer on the arm on the way out of the ambulance. They finally get her into handcuffs and she's arrested. They, my God, they get this poor kid to the hospital.
North Kansas City Hospital.
They tried, Scott, they tried. And they could not save him. There was a long procession involving all kinds of first responders yesterday. This has made me so sad, but also so angry.
I think it's made the whole community angry. How did this happen?
They were trying to help her.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't having it.
And while he was a 3-year, I believe, firefighter paramedic for Kansas City, he came from Belton. The entire city of right. Belton is in mourning over this as well. And it, why? Why? How does this happen?
I don't know that there's an answer to that, Dana. And mental health, anger issue, who knows? Who knows? By the way, if she did actually try to bite an officer early yesterday morning, this would not be the first time in the last week.
She was just out on bond for the same thing.
Zell was arrested last Wednesday, April 23rd, after she allegedly bit a Platte City Police Department officer during a separate arrest. She was charged with assault and resisting arrest in that case. She had a bond of $10,000. She posted that on Saturday and was released. It was early Sunday morning that she was walking on the highway of 152. When people called in, they were concerned. She was put into the ambulance and allegedly stabbed Graham. Let me find his last name again.
Hoffman.
Thank you.
So the New York Times has picked up this story, and I asked you to look into this out there. We have heard again and again for all of our first responders and our nurses, orderlies, that there has been a dramatic rise in assaults, battery, injuries toward our unarmed first responders. Mm-hmm. So let's put police in a different category. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but when you are a firefighter, paramedic, you're not only are you not armed, you are in the back of that tiny space
yeah.
with a patient while your partner at work is up driving. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your own.
So what do we do to solve this in the future?
I don't know.
Do we pat patients down? Do we restrain their wrists on the gurney?
We put three people on an ambulance, so there's an extra set of eyeballs.
Where's that money going to come from?
Scott, I don't know. I think people are just reeling. He was so young.
29.
Beautiful, kind, gentle soul of a human being. I'm mad.
Those of you in the business, in EMT, EMS, whatever, help us out with this. There is going to be obviously some quarterbacking, armchair quarterbacking. How do we fix this problem? Or is this just one of the hazards of being in that business? I've never heard of anything like it. This story is so bizarre, so tragic, that it made national news today. It was on ABC. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. The mayor, Quentin Lucas, out with a statement, and I quote, "Graham was 29 years old, someone who had an exceptional life ahead of him, and he died doing something that was so impactful and important to all of us, serving the community. There will be many steps ahead as we evaluate what happened, as we review what occurred, as we address whatever needs to happen in the future. But today, I am focused on grieving for his mother, his father, his sibling, his family, and everyone in the KCFD family."
His coworkers, Scott, that then had to go out and run calls, who had to go back out to work. You know, my heart breaks for everyone involved, but the firefighters and paramedics who worked with him that then had to go out and keep helping people.
What, and I know there is no answer, this is rhetorical. What goes through someone's mind when you are clearly, I mean,
she bit a police officer a week, 4 days prior, okay?
In Platte City.
And then bonded out. It was a $10,000 bond.
Correct.
Bonded out. And within, what, 48 hours this happens?
She was released on Saturday morning. By Sunday morning, she's in the back of this ambulance and allegedly stabs him in the heart. Stabbed him in the heart.
One of the things I asked is when you're working on an ambulance, you're part of that crew. Do you know when they pick up someone, the police, it's a welfare check. She had some blood on her finger. It, you know, it looked like she may need help. Do you know when that person is coming into your ambulance? I don't know that they're a homicidal maniac. Does anyone tell you that? You can't background check the patient, can you?
No, but
that you would at least know that a few days ago she bit a police officer.
But I guarantee you there are going to be some changes to procedure. I would be shocked if a patient gets into the back of an ambulance ever again without their arms restrained.
Ooh. I thought you were going to say without searching them for weapons.
Why bother? It's easier just to restrain their arms.
How are you going to strap down every... That's not possible, Scott.
Well, I mean, I've never been in the back of... Well, I have, but it was 30-something years ago. I'm assuming that there is some sort of metal siding to the gurney.
But they are patients.
They are.
And 99.9% of the time, you don't want to treat them like they are criminals. Now, in this case, my God, what we would do to go back and have her restrained.
913-586-7798. Rich in Kansas City. Rich, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, just got a quick comment. And I'm by no means, I'm, like you said, armchair quarterback in this. But my problem with it is that KCPD, and I'm not saying anything bad about them, they're following their policies. But why in this day and age do we have to call advanced life support ambulance with paramedics for somebody who has a hurt finger? Non-life-threatening. And instead, end up ending somebody's life.
You know, that's actually a good point. Her only crime, and I use crime in air quotes, is walking down the highway.
Right.
Hmm.
And then they found her, and she had a hurt finger. So instead of, and now, like I said, I know it's their policy that that's what they have to do. But in my mind is, why are we taking out an ambulance that could be used to save somebody's life with advanced medical care to take somebody all the way down to the plaza for a cut finger?
It's a fair question, Rich.
That's a hell of a good question.
And now we maybe this is why our health costs are so damn expensive, you know? But as a paramedic from 30 years, I mean, this is nothing new, that type of call.
What do you mean?
Taking people that have a hurt hand or a hurt finger, or they call you in the middle of the night because they've stubbed their toe and they want to ride to the hospital. But by law, if they ask for a ride, an ambulance, if you're an EMT or a paramedic in an ambulance and they say, I want to go to the hospital, by law, you have to take it.
But there's no indication that she was the one that called for emergency assistance.
But they did ask.
It was driver.
They did ask, do you want an ambulance? Yes. And she said no. And then they asked again and she said, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Rich, thanks for the call. Do appreciate it. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So the Kansas City Star has some updated reporting on this. When officers arrived before the ambulance, when officers arrived on the side of the highway and they found her, she had a laceration to a finger and was, quote, bleeding heavily. Okay. So officers requested an ambulance respond so that she could be treated. Paramedics arrived, and after interviewing her, they determined she was not trying to harm herself. You know, they did the interview. The paramedics got her into the back of the ambulance to look at her cut. She told them, I do not want to go to the hospital. She asked if they could give her a ride home. The paramedics told her they could not take her home, only to the hospital. An officer offered her a ride home. She refused.
But she wanted a ride home from the paramedics.
Yeah.
But not the officer?
Eventually, and my guess, I don't want to guess here, but keep in mind, she knows in a way that they do not, that she has just bonded out for biting a police officer in Platte City.
Which might explain why she doesn't want to get into the back of a police car.
It would explain why she does not want to be with a police officer, because they pull her name up and lo and behold, you just bit one of my comrades a couple days ago. Eventually, she agreed to go to the hospital in the ambulance and an officer followed the ambulance. Hoffman remained in the back with her while the other paramedic got into the driver's seat and started driving. The paramedic told police he heard a commotion in the back of the ambulance just east of the exit ramp to Missouri 152 and Platte Purchase Road. I need you to sit back down, the driver heard Hoffman say. The driver then heard Hoffman yell that he needed help, and she had a knife. Ambulance pulled over, activated its emergency lights. The officer trailing all of this saw the ambulance driver get out, run to the back and open the doors, and then saw a struggle. Officer calls in assist call. All hell breaks loose.
Why?
As he was running to the ambulance, the officer, he told detectives he heard her say, him say, Hoffman, she has a knife. The paramedic told detectives as he opened the rear doors, Hoffman said, she stabbed me in the heart.
He was rushed to North Kansas City Hospital. They did everything that they could. Everything that they could. But they could not save his life. 913-586-7798. Let's go to Jason in Kansas City North. Hello, Jason.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon, Scott. Good to have you back.
Good to be back. Thanks.
I want to look at some judicial malfeasance here. She's got a pretty decent rap sheet. Why was she out for assault on a police officer for only $10,000 in bond?
Jason, I wondered the same thing. Is it because she bit him and he was in plain clothes outside of his home so that she did not know at the time that she was biting someone it was an officer? Like, I'm just throwing that out. He came out apparently to his car where he lives, I presume. He comes out to his car and sees this woman trying to get into his car. He says, what the heck are you doing? Stop. She bites him. That was the assault on an officer. He wasn't trying to arrest her. He had come home from work.
And like I said, though, she's got other charges. Does she have some more assault charges on her, too?
I don't know.
We don't have that in front of us, Jason. Would it surprise me? No.
So, anyway, just throwing that out there.
By the way, the judge in this case, in the April 23rd case, who set the bond at $10,000.
The original biting.
Yeah. Yes. If the name Luis Angels rings a bell, he was the judge in the Ralph Yarrell case.
Yeah. At the point of the struggle, when Graham Hoffman's partner is back there trying to save him, the officer pulled his handgun, grabbed this woman with his free hand, continually trying to get her out of the front seat of the ambulance that she is trying to.
So she's already made her way out of the back
and up to the front and is trying to drive off in the ambulance, but cannot figure out how to get it in gear. So the officer then is like trying to stop her. He gets her out of the seat. The two fall to the ground. She lands near his left arm and bites down hard.
What is wrong with her?
She was then arrested as other officers responded.
Let me ask you a question. When a paramedic or a police officer, let me rephrase, when a paramedic and a police officer show up on the scene of you walking down a highway, can you continue to walk? Do you have to get into one or the other?
It's illegal to walk on the highway.
I understand that. So you could be fined and then walk into the field and go about your business. But do you have to get into one or the other?
That would be a question for our listeners.
913-586-7798. Misty on line one. Misty, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions and a couple of points to make. One, I'd like it known for Mayor Lucas to go ahead and consider getting those vests for our paramedics in the back of the truck. Two, was she not red flagged? Because immediately if the officer was first, he should have known exactly who she was at that point, or detained her and had her searched because she is walking on a highway and she was not critically injured. So there was no emergency response for us to even be in that situation.
So Misty, real quick, on the initial biting of the officer that she was released on the $10,000 bond, that was in Platte City. I don't know necessarily that a Kansas City, Missouri officer would have recognized her from that case. I understand what you're saying. But so when they first make contact.
Here's the thing. They're letting these people off with a slap on the wrist. They turn around. And this isn't the first time. It won't be the last time. But it's come to a point now. Why aren't we protecting us with a vest that we are able to put on when we are coming up on a scene of an unknown situation? where it has a history of violence, because obviously the officer that was injured by her originally, go back to the courts. That's on the courts.
It is, but Misty, we want to know more about the vest. Are there paramedics in other communities that are provided vests, or is it up to you to buy your own vest?
No, we are not provided any type of protection, not even a vest. And we have pushed for that at one point. We can't wear them all the time because we have to be able to crawl in and out of cars or in and out of a burning, and that would be a snag hazard or could possibly potentially become entrapment for us. So you couldn't wear them all the time, but when we're coming up on a possible violent individual, we should be able to protect ourselves.
How would you know, Misty, if she's just walking down the side of the highway with a bloody finger?
The officers, we work hand in hand with them, right?
Yeah.
She was obviously not mentally stable when she's walking down the highway with blood dripping down her hand. And that should have been radioed in. It was not a life-threatening injury, obviously.
You know, in order for that to work, Misty, the officers would have to run a check on every person before they call an ambulance. I don't know if they do or they don't.
I don't know if they have time.
Would they have known, hey, your finger's bleeding, let's get you some help.
But before we do,
are you a homicidal lunatic? Right. Let's look you up. And I'm not saying we don't do that, but how do you know?
And let me just address this.
And if it's a life-threatening situation, they're not going to stop to figure that out. If I'm laying on the side of the road and I've had a heart attack, they're not going to say, let's figure out who this is before we provide aid.
Let's get some ID. Do they have a driver's license on them? But, Misty, let me address something that you did say. And I know it's become kind of parlor room fodder to make fun of or poke fun of or criticize prosecutors for being a little bit lenient, judges for being a little bit lenient on the amount of bond, and it started with Jackson County Prosecutor Jean Peters Baker when she was still in office. And people said that she was light on crime and weak on crime, whatever. This was in Platte County, the initial biting of an officer on April 23rd. I cannot think of a single person in this city who would say that Eric Zond is light on crime.
Soft on crime, no.
Who is the Platte County prosecutor?
Because the jails are packed.
Maybe.
And the biting of a police officer while a felony and while she should go to prison for that, in the laundry list of murders and other things that we've got out there at that time.
Are we going to use a room for that?
Knowing what we know now, my God, everyone wishes she was behind bars.
Of course. 913-586-7798. Chris in Overland Park. Chris, hello.
Hi. And I won't keep you long. What I was thinking is the bite should have been dealt with more seriously because that's the way to transmit a disease. And how aggressive she was when he said, hey, what are you doing by my car? Most people would run away and not toward someone, especially when they're doing something wrong. So at the very least, I think she should have been put on maybe a mental health hold for 48 hours.
With what bed?
They don't. Okay.
Yeah. Chris, look.
I'm not aware. I'm just saying that
let me tell you this. In a perfect world, yes, you would place somebody like that on hold. Mm-hmm. But this is the United States of America. You do have rights. And up to the point that she got in that ambulance and went homicidal, you cannot take a citizen and shove them in some loony bin, which, by the way, doesn't even exist. Ask how many people in our audience, Scott, have tried desperately to get help for a loved one who has mental health issues, have tried desperately to get them into some sort of facility. Where? With what bed? With what money? With what resources?
Let's go to Bob in Midtown. Bob, you get the last word. Hello.
Hey, guys. Question I have is that anybody who gets into the back of a police car is searched. It's for officer safety. Since there were officers on scene, they were their initial contact. I just don't understand how this lady wasn't searched before she ended up in the ambulance.
Well, because when you get into the back of a police officer's car, you're usually under arrest.
Not always.
Almost always.
Free ride, courtesy rides, things of that nature. Anybody who gets in the back of a cop car is searched.
And should be.
Period.
And should be. Yeah. And so if you're asking, Bob, should we do the same now for non-life emergent, imminent death situations in an ambulance. I think today
30 people, second search would have changed all of this.
People would say yes.
You're right. You're right, Bob.
All right, thanks.
All right, be well. 913-586-7798. Logan Weber, Dana Wright. By the way, Logan's in for Sam. Everybody always wonders when Sam's not here. Oh, my God, has he been fired? No. Sam is coming back on Thursday. Logan's filling in for Sam. Everything's fine.
Everybody's fine.
Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Jay Binkley from 96.5 The Fan will be joining us right after 4 o'clock as we try to figure out what happened to Shedeur Sanders as he dropped from a potential first-round pick, maybe second round, all the way down to the fifth round, going to the lowly, depleted Cleveland Browns, who have never even been to a Super Bowl, ever, in their history.
Really quick, because you were gone when this happened, and it's so important that we acknowledge those in our industry who have done extraordinary things. The photograph of Patrick Mahomes in the 1/1,000,000th of a second that his helmet cracked in brutal
Grim Reaper fashion
weather and in Grim Reaper fashion, you remember it was sort of shaped like the Grim Reaper, has won the best sports image in the world for 2024.
I'll be darned.
And you remember Emily Curiel with the Kansas City Star.
Who's been on the show.
Who has been on the show, was the one that somehow got that photo in real time when that tiny little piece cracked during our win over the Miami Dolphins in the AFC wildcard game here at Arrowhead. And she won first place, by the way. It's Pictures of the Year International. It's like the largest photography.
Was it not her first year at the Star?
She has not been doing this long.
Mm-hmm.
She beat out photos of the Tour de France. Like, this is a global competition. It is the best sports photograph in the world for 2024.
Good for her. Liverpool won the English Premier League yesterday, 4 games left in the season.
Ooh.
That's how good they were.
It's over.
It's over. See, what a lot of people don't know about the English Premier League, there is no playoff, there is no Super Bowl. Whoever gets to a certain number of points where it is unattainable that anybody can beat you,
yeah,
you win the EPL.
Do they still keep playing, or
yes,
is it just
Yes, but it's kind of like when the Chiefs would secure a first round.
Yeah, you put in your scrubs.
Yeah, so they won the EPL with 4 games left in the season. It is their 20th EPL win. Tied for Manchester United with the title. A speedboat attempting to break a record in Arizona became caught up in windy conditions and went airborne before crashing down into the water in an incident that was caught on camera. We should
it's
note.
It's crazy. The thing flips backward and up, end over, end over, end over, end, way up in the air.
It was going 200 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
On Lake Havasu City. Around noon, the Freedom One skater racing boat flew into the air as the boaters were racing at more than 200 miles per hour in an attempt to break a record. Quoting here from Ray Lee, the owner.
Well, they broke a record for number of rolls up in the air.
Of Speedboat Magazine. We saw the race team proceed down the course, and they started out really well. Nothing out of the ordinary. Then it was about halfway, 3/4 of the way down the course, when we saw the nose start to lift. Video footage shows the boat flipping several times before crashing back down into the water. Despite the severity of the crash, both people on board the boat from Kansas City, Missouri, survived with only minor injuries.
They're ones of ours. Do you think you know when you are flipping over and over and over in the air? Does time and space slow?
And you see your life go right before your eyes.
You know at some point there's going to be a big boom when that. How did they survive?
One of the passengers in the boat had broken ribs and I believe a broken finger, and the other was just roughed up a little bit.
Those boats have to be made out of steel because the boat also,
I believe it's fiberglass,
is somewhat intact. You would think with a violent crash like that at 200 miles an hour, when it hits the water, it just would disintegrate into a million pieces. So that's not what happened.
Because everybody survived, I would encourage people to go back and watch the video. How close they came to shore
when
they crashed. Watch the video again. Look at how close they come to shore when that boat comes to rest. It could have been much worse.
Yeah, they're right there. I'm looking at it.
What, 20 feet?
Yeah. Because it flips and flies like a helicopter, you guys. It careens. Did they break the record? Because where is point B?
They broke a record.
They broke a record for speed, airborne, number of rolls. And then they shaved some time off of their race there through the air.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're all right.
That's what they were worried about, Dana.
I don't understand it. I'm glad they're all right.
Sinners was the big winner at the box office over the weekend. It has now made $161 million. Would you care to guess what number two was at the box office?
I don't know because nothing is touching number one. Travis Walker saw it, says it is outstanding.
Number two was Star Wars Episode III, 20th Anniversary Replay.
Oh.
They put it back in the theaters, and it finished in number two. Jay Binkley joins us in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about Mr. Sanders and why he dropped to the fifth round of the NFL draft. Was it his dad? Was it the way he interviewed with teams? Was he too cocky, too arrogant? Is he just not talented enough? We'll find out in just a moment. Dan Weinbaum has the news coming up in 2 minutes here on Dan in Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.